And that was Skin Red with Stand For Something. And you're listening to A Sad State of Affairs on StAndrewsRadio.com.
And we're going to start with some simple facts about the NUS referendum. Over the next, over the next 7 days, we anticipate that you're going to hear quite a bit of arguments between the two sides, quite a bit of spin. They're going to try to convince you that they're right. And one of them, you know, it's what we'd like to do before we bring them in to talk about it is say that there are things that are objectively true. Just waiting for a quip in there about the Republican primaries. I'm not getting, or about the Republican election. I'm not getting one. You know, if we were to affiliate, if the Student Association were to affiliate to NUS, what are the costs? What are the benefits? Well,
let's tell you some of them.
The first year, the costs of affiliation, the direct costs, are half of the second year. So in the first year, we're talking about £9,600 a year. Thereafter, £9,600 a year. Thereafter, £19,300 a year. As the student body changes, as the size of our block grant changes, and as the NUS fee structure changes, those three variables change the block grant.
So we're giving you projections based on current statistics there. However, they are the projections agreed on by the association, the NUS, and the elections committee have certified those as absolutely accurate to the best of our ability at this moment to give you. On the other hand, there is the revenue associated with affiliation to the NUS. The problem here is it's all predicted. We can't give you an absolute fact because revenue comes from the sale of NUS extra cards, which cost £12 per year and give you discounts to a number of high street and online retailers such as Amazon and ASOS. Various universities have very different sales figures ranging from 2.8% of the student body at Aberdeen to 30% of the student body at Reading. So we get £4.71 from each sale of the card. You can make up your own mind about how many you think we can sell.
Just a rough sort of snapshot. If we were at 5%, you're talking about £1,800, 10%, 3,600, 25%, about 9,000. Sorry. I should probably try not to lose a lung on the radio. Now, what do you get for that? Well, obviously, you get representation within NUS. You get 2 days of in-house training for 20 officers and representatives, 2 days of in-house activist training for 100 students. You get 2 days of higher education policy consultancy, 2 days of union democracy and governance consultancy, and 2 days of management consultancy, as well as membership in the Scottish Voluntary Organization and the ability to attend national conferences with accommodation for 3 delegates, excluding travel. Those are all the basics. There are other things you can add on, other little modules you can build in.
But any of those modules would have additional costs and benefits associated with them. They would not be. They are not the subject of this referendum because they'd be commercial decisions by the board rather than, you know, being part of, do we want to join this external student body?
Now, the context we look at this in is the context of the budget for the next year. We are about to undergo, we're praying, all things going right, we're on pace to undergo a massive redevelopment of the building. That redevelopment will have significant commercial impact, and it'll have us projected at the moment to lose about £8,000 this year and for the next few years before returning to surpluses in after redevelopment in November of 2015. From that point,
we will, of course, be finished our redevelopment. We will have moved our commercial services towards making an unknown amount of money. The problem is, of course, we can't predict this at this point. What we're looking at, therefore, is the budget for the next few years being very, very unknown. So all figures we're giving you are in the context of hands are being thrown up in the air going, projection, definitely right. Only a projection.
It is important. This is both a decision about representation and about training, but also about finance. And to consider the arguments you're going to hear in the next hour in that particular context. But before we do that, we are going to bring in the design team to talk about some of the great work they do, some of the work they do that's quite under-recognized. We're going to play them in with a song the design team convener has chosen called, you say it because I'm not even going to do it.
Called Pap Smear by Crystal Castles.
And you're listening to a Sab State of Affairs on StNewsRadio.com, and we're not the Sabs. I'm Max Franklin. With me in the studio,
Daniel Franklin.
Yeah.
Stephanie Ekinayaka.
And we're going to be talking with Stephanie, who's the convener of the design team, about what the design team is and what they do. So, what is the design team and what do you do?
That's actually a great question, because, I mean, most people don't know we even exist. So I'm here to settle that. Now, as you might not know, we're a subcommittee of the union. So we're just like Star Radio, just like Mermaids. We also are a service here that's, you know, here for you and anybody in the community. Essentially, we're kind of this two-parter where we have anybody, any student who wants to design, who wants to do posters or logos, whatever you want, whatever medium you want. We're kind of here to be that intermediary between services. So if you're a society and you want a poster done, then we can do it for you. And I'll just, you know, find whoever's willing and we'll connect the both of you. So that's kind of what we do in a nutshell.
And at the moment, how many people are involved in the design team? And if people want to get involved, how can they?
Well, those are two great questions. I'll first start with the second one, because our second EGM of the year is on Sunday.
Where and when?
That's also a good question. Yeah. It's here in the union at noon, so in the main bar. So essentially, we're just getting three more positions, the secretary, a photography coordinator, and the web coordinator. So if those are positions that interest you, anybody is welcome to come and join.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got a fantastic new constitution. just went through board, just through SSC. So all those positions are now formally codified, and I'm getting the look that I get when I use the word codified on air. And if society wanted to use your services, how would they get in contact with you, and sort of what do you need from them? How much time? Do you need, how much notice do you need, that sort of thing?
You can just email us or even post on our Facebook page, that's St. Andrew's Design Team, or email SADT. And essentially, because we're like a volunteer service, it depends on who's free at the time. And usually times like this, crunch time in student life, are probably the most difficult time to find us. But usually with 2 weeks' notice, we can get you any design requests that you want. And things we've done so far this year are the accommodations, the Your Right to Rent Week posters, speakeasy, and a few logos here and there for societies, a cappella society and things like that. So we're active and we're around.
For, you know, just again, for general interest of societies and other individuals, who would you do work for? Would you take work for instance, a play which asked for help, which was being funded by Mermaids?
Definitely, absolutely. We're not even anybody in the community. It doesn't have to be a student, can ask for our services. Obviously, if you are somebody in the community, you can. We might charge you, but obviously, if you're a student, since we are a services under SSE, it's free.
Fantastic. So let me ask you this. Favorite font? and sans serif.
Okay, well, I thought you were going to ask me a terrifying question of what's my least favorite font, because that wouldn't have been something
Isn't
nice
it
to
just
say.
Comic Sans? Isn't that everyone's favorite font?
But you would be surprised how many people have asked me to use that in a design. But I won't talk about Comic Sans, but my favorite font at the moment right now, sans serif, is Ostrich. And yes, it's tall and lanky and very hipster right now, which is quite popular in design. But serif font, it will always have to be Georgia for me. It's flexible, you know?
It's elegant.
Yes.
You just mentioned there the link between design and hipsterism. Now, how strong do you actually see this link as? Because obviously it's the stereotype, but do you have to be a hipster to be involved in the design team?
That is not true. I mean, what I'll say right now is that design just currently is more of like that Instagram kind of look that people really like. And I've had a lot of designs, like the people asking posters, can I get something that looks like it was taken on Instagram? And, you know, that's what's in right now. But you don't have to do hipster designs to have a good design. A lot of my friends do, you know, traditional just drawing on paper and just quirky things. But, you know, it's about originality, so.
How do you feel about minimalism in design? Because I'm asking this because I used to be the editor of my newspaper back in high school, and it was fantastic. It was looks like an old-fashioned newspaper, the sort of thing you'd get, you know, the sort of newspaper that would break a Watergate scandal. That was its layout. Well, I leave, and the next year they take it over, and they've stripped out virtually everything we have there, and our fonts have changed, and it's all clean and sleek, and I don't like it at all. Would you have done that to me, too?
Maybe. You're probably talking to the wrong person, considering I do minimalist design, but I totally appreciate what traditional kind of looks have and where that's kind of been lost in design. So, you know, it's all up to what you want.
Well, there you have the design team. They will give you anything you want, including apparently Comic Sans. They won't kick you through the door.
I will. I'm sorry. Not okay. Comic Sans.
Oh, okay. And, but design team, versatile, here to help. You can get in contact with them. Is it SADT?
Yep.
At st-andrews.ac.uk. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
And we're going to go out to welcome in the Yes team for the NUS campaign. They were chosen by coin toss, by random selection, and they're going to be playing Yeah, featuring Little John and Ludacris by Usher. We'll go to that now.
Peace up. Peace A-Town up. Down.
You're listening to A Sad State of Affairs on StAndrewsRadio.com. I'm Max Baldy, and I remember my name this time around. With me is
Daniel Franklin. And
I'm Holly Patrick from the Yes team. I am not Freddie Ford, although I've claimed on the Buzzbox to be so before.
And I'm Ben Anderson.
Unfortunately, Dan scrapped Who Are You Freddie Ford this week, and I'm a little miffed with him for that.
That is harsh.
I know, right?
We're two of us.
Freddie's not even here this week. This would have been the perfect time to do it.
That's why we're scrapping it.
So tell us, why, Holly and Ben, just in your best argument, why should we be part of NUS?
Who wants to kick it off?
You go for it.
Oh, no pressure there. I guess looking at it at a national level, the NUS already represents 95%. Of universities and is generally perceived as the voice for students. Anyway, I think it's quite telling that when a lot of first years come here, they tend to sort of assume we are a member of the NUS already. And I think that says a lot about how students perceive the NUS as actually intrinsically part of the student experience. And at the moment, St. Andrews lacks that sort of help that they can give students. So if you want to pick at any point, otherwise I'm going to keep talking.
I think there's never been a more important time than now for St. Andrews to be part of NUS, to have a national voice, if you like, especially with what's recently gone on at London Met. I mean, at St. Andrews, we might consider ourselves to be in slightly a different situation from London Met, but I think the precedent has been set that UKBA has chosen to kind of move on these sorts of issues. And so being part of NUS, being able to speak nationally and have support on issues such as this is very important at a time like this.
And then apart from the sort of the national issues which the NUS deal with, there's also the fact that the NUS are very good at sort of helping out at the local level with the actual university day-to-day management, sort of auditing they can help with, training for both sort of SABs and other students and action groups. There's the way they can link up action groups at your university, talk to other ones and sort of work out how you're going to do stuff and actually sort of coordinate in that way and sort of build networks better with that. And there's the sort of the basic level of actually helping out individual students with things as simple as the NUS Extra Card. So it sort of works on pretty much every single tier of student life.
One of the things that really gets to me about it is that we have so many talented student representatives in St. Andrews and people who really care about issues. I'm talking about the people who sit on the SRC. Oh, not necessarily Dan. No, I'm just kidding. We love Dan too. But, you know, people who are really passionate about these issues, and being part of the NUS gives these people a chance to kind of use their voice on a wider scale to kind of speak nationally as well, where they don't really have that much of an opportunity at the moment.
If you'd like to buzz in any questions to the spokespeople for the Yes team now or the No team later, buzz them in. We'll ask them on air, assuming they're, you know, reasonable questions.
If your question is, why hasn't the NUS shot the government? We won't ask that, because one reason is it's illegal.
I think you just did.
This tone changed quite quickly, didn't it?
Yeah.
The NUS don't shoot anyone, just to be clear.
So let me ask you, how would you address the idea, the perceived cost-benefit? Where does your analysis on that lie?
We're both very impressed when we actually saw the figures for membership and the costs for it. I mean, it's going to be nothing. If we were to vote yes, the first sort of however many months until the end of the year would be free. The second year
would be £9,300 about. And then the year after, about £19,500, which is really a lot better than we know. For those of you who are listening who maybe don't know about this, the Student Association Board and the NUS commissioned an independent financial review of how much the NUS would cost. And so we have impartial, value-free figures that we can say, actually, this is how much it costs. And yeah, we were really pleasantly surprised, because the thing is, I mean, other than the fact that for us it's not really about the money, we know that, you know, money is a big issue for people, especially in St Andrews when we spend a lot of money on societies. But I mean, when you consider that we made £30,000 profit on Freshers Week, I think then the affiliation fee is, you know, you have to put it into a bit more perspective, rather than just it's going to be £19,000, which can sound like a lot. And I appreciate that people wouldn't want to see that going from their societies. But as we know, that's not going to come out the society's budget. So.
And there's the fact that it would actually, that number does go down depending on how many people buy an extra card as well. So yeah. That's like, it's a headline figure, but it can reduce as well. So it's not...
quite substantially.
Yeah.
And what would you say out of all of the things you mentioned, if there's one takeaway, what is the biggest benefit for St. Andrews from joining?
50% off Spotify, right? Are we allowed to say that on the radio?
Is there a Spotify competitor to Star?
No.
I think...
Let's not ask this question.
we're not going to like the answer. Is it the day-to-day in-pocket difference for students, for you?
I think that...
average about £200 per student, I think.
Yeah, we've had a little... I mean, it's not a scientific survey, but we've had a look, and we think that on average, St Andrews students... this is taking into account, obviously, the fact we don't live in a major city, so taking out those discounts, which would apply to students who live in a major city, are still going to save, on average, £200 per year. And, you know, a lot of students will be wedded to the political benefits of joining NUS in terms of having a national voice, but I think...
especially here, which is such a politically active...
yes. Yeah. But for students on the street, some students on the street, the discounts will be enough. And, you know, they're really important, so...
excellent. Yeah. Well, good luck to you both. If people want to get involved or want more information, how they get in contact with you?
HJEP at...
And BDA2.
Okay.
Same mail address.
Well, excellent. Good luck to you. Follow the rules. And we're going to go out to my selection. This is the late Plácido Domingo singing Desendorma. Right, and you're listening to A Sad State of Affairs on StAndrewsRadio.com. I'm Max Baldy, here with Dan Franklin, and that was the song chosen by Michael Frazier, spokesperson for the No campaign, and he's going to tell us what it was, because I can't remember.
That is Can't Hold Us by Macklemore, from his recently released album, The Heist, which everyone should listen to. Future of hip-hop right there.
Okay, well, let's talk about the future of St. Andrews. Why are you opposed to the NUS, just broadly?
Broadly, I think the cost for our union is pretty high and the benefits are nearly non-existent for our student body.
Okay, do you want to expand a little bit more on that? Or?
Well, to belabor our three-point platform, which we'll be repeating ad nauseum for the next week or so.
Sounds like campaign week?
The main thing we're losing is £20,000 a year in affiliation fees, which isn't a huge chunk of the overall union budget, but when you consider that a lot of the union's funds are things like payroll and the sabbaticals, yearly wage, and we can't cut into those things, so it's going to come out of a much smaller, kind of flexible portion of the budget. And really, there's going to be a noticeable impact on societies, subcommittees, on all the things the union does. Second part is, like, one of the things most people we've talked to have mentioned is these discount cards. They're like, oh yeah, discount cards. We should totally join the NUS. Everyone gets these discount cards. Truth is that these really are not a very good deal. You look at only 7% of the eligible students actually buy them, because most of the discounts on the card are already available for free to anyone with a metric card. Third big point is that advocacy and representation, the main things the NUS is supposed to provide, they do not deliver on this. When you actually look at their record, at how the organization operates, like... just most recently, the fees rise, they completely failed us. And, like, why are we paying £20,000 a year? Why would we do that when we're not getting anything from it? Well, on representation, everyone talks about it. This will increase our voice on the national stage. But really, we would only be sending 3 delegates to a national and U.S. conference of 1,500 delegates. And these things are kind of just a farce of democracy. It's all just politicking between internal and U.S. factions. And we really would not have any more say than we have right now.
Okay. If you're in the buzz box and you'd like to buzz in a question, we'd be happy to take it on air. So in your measure, the cost-benefit analysis doesn't work out. What value do you place on the free training for officers and activists and that sort of thing? Do you think that should factor in, or is that play into consideration at all?
Well, the NUS is kind of vague on what exactly this training is, like, particularly with regards to activists. Like, what are they teaching us? How to throw fire extinguishers off of buildings? I'm probably not allowed to say that, eh? But, so I wish the NUS would give us more clarity on this, but when you actually look at our union, it is far from perfect, but we do a couple things, like, really, really well. When the NUS talks about training us on how to improve our union democracy, we have the best voter turnout in our union elections of any university in the UK. So what are they going to teach us?
Okay. You guys have made an interesting decision. You've said that you... I just lost your page. In your campaigning style, you've said that you are going to try to avoid... try to have a non-intrusive campaign, not have T-shirts, a launch party, not... fly people outside the library, not shout in front of the union. Why'd you make that decision?
Well, mostly, unlike most of the normal sabbatical elections and everything, that people have a personal stake. It's their friends who are running for it. This is more... It's more about the ideas and the issues. So I think there's a much higher level of apathy from our wider student body. So I think particularly in this election, we're not going to get away with really annoying crap and shoving flyers in everyone's faces. I also think... I would like to subvert the status quo and prove that we don't need to do all these kind of stupid cosmetic things that don't actually change anyone's mind to win an election in St. Andrews. Like, I have a fair amount of faith in our student body and their intelligence to go and actually research an issue. We did have a lot of comments on our Facebook page already from Facebook's resident political gurus telling us that we're going to get crushed in this election if we follow through with this kind of policy. But I'd like to be clear that we're not completely, like, giving up on any campaign activity beyond just our Facebook page. We are going to be doing stuff. We're just trying really hard to make sure that it's interesting and not obnoxious to the wider student body.
All right. And in 30 seconds, the biggest harm you think would befall St. Andrews if it joined NUS?
That we would pay a lot of money and get nothing for it.
Okay. Thank you for coming in, and good luck with your campaign. If people want to join your campaign team or get involved, how do they contact you?
They can go to our website, no-2-nus.org, or find us on Facebook, I think, pretty easily by searching No2NUS.
Okay, fantastic. And we're going to leave it there. Thank you for coming in. And we're going to be playing Dan's song. And Dan, what are we hearing?
We're hearing Haifisch by Rammstein.
Okay, let's go to that. And you're listening to Sab Save Affairs on StandNewsRadio.com. We are not the Sabs. I'm Max Baldy. This is Dan Franklin. But we are going to play Not Sab But True, because let's face it, our lives, our existences are pretty sab. So, in the last week, Dan, what's sab but true about your life?
In the last week, I've spent more time in the union on union business than I've spent on academic work, and that's despite having turned in an essay and written it.
Is that just this week?
That's not just this week, but, you know, we're talking about this week.
Okay. My sad but true. The most I slept this week is 5 hours. The only night this week I wasn't discussing union business until 3 a.m. was election night. And I actually ended up discussing union business from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. because I woke up the FAS treasurer, got her out of bed, took her to breakfast, and talked to her about finances. This is my life, and it is sab, but it is true. So that's a segment we're going to do. We cannot do Submarine because we don't know how Simon's doing, other than the fact that he might get a new bowl. We cannot do Black Sabbath because we don't know what it is. We cannot do Are You Freddy Ford because clearly we are not Freddy Ford. So we're going to go ahead and create a new segment, one we're very proud of, and that segment is called...
Hack Work.
I thought it was Hack Attack.
Is it Hack Attack?
This is Hack Attack. Don't get the title to the segment wrong. Hack Attack is the segment where we take you deep inside the labyrinth of the union. And we talk to you a little bit about the work it goes on behind the scenes. First of all, the SRC passed two motions unanimously on Tuesday night concerning international students. And Dan, the SRC senior officer, can tell you briefly what they are.
The first one is a motion to pass around a petition amongst students and publicise it there in order to get the government to reverse its policy on the Tier 1 student visa. The Tier 1 student visa allows students to apply for work once they graduate for, I believe, it's up to 2 years. And obviously this is a huge benefit to students here. It means that they can, you know, come here, study, stay here for a little longer and maybe settle, maybe not. This country keeps talking about immigration. We complain about it. We celebrate it. What we don't ever do is actually really discuss policies. And this is a discussion of policy which is worth having, especially in the context of bringing over international students and the context of what's happened at London Met. The second SRC motion similarly relates to international students, but in this case, it'll affect every international student who is not graduating at the end of this year. There are two simultaneous lobbying efforts that the SRC has just launched. One is to lobby the university to self-regulate its international student fees. That would be to freeze it for a student on entrance so that what you pay in your first year is what you pay in your final year, and to voluntarily enforce a cap. The other one is going to the Scottish Government and asking for exactly the same things. And in fact, we're sending representatives to meet with MSPs on Tuesday to discuss this very policy. Now, given that international student fees are going up consistently, at the rate they're going up now, if they continue, by 2016, an international entrance student will be paying double what an RUK student is paying in fees.
And that's why I'm glad I'm graduating in 2014.
This is despite, obviously, getting exactly the same service provision, and despite costing the same to teach. So it's really a big issue for international students in terms of making our universities accessible to as wide a variety of international students as possible, which is great for our academic reputation.
For the SRC, we didn't meet last week, and Meg has already talked to you about the staff student initiatives the week before, but we've got a full agenda coming up on Tuesday. We'll be considering whether we'll add another member to the Society's Committee after the Society's EGM. We will possibly be talking about Skint Tuesdays. We'll possibly be talking about the Society's Committee and how it spends money. And there's some stuff related to mermaids. All of that coming up Tuesday at 7:30 in the committee room, where I will assume the chair because Emmanuel's in Edinburgh. And I can't tell you how excited I am for that.
On the other hand, the rest of the SRC is terrifying.
Oh, as long as they seek recognition before they speak, they'll be fine. So that's what's happening on there. For Dan and I, and for Emmanuel and the staff when they get back from London, we're spending a lot of time right now working on a review of the governance of the association.
This is the ultimate in inside baseball, except it also has a huge impact on every one of you who interacts with the association. We aren't just talking about, you know, what office the SABs get, but what the SABs actually do. What the officers of the SRC and SSC do, who should be an officer, all the sort of things which do actually affect your day-to-day student life, even if not directly. How student societies are governed and dealt with, how they get grants. All that's actually being discussed and coming up. All this stuff. We'd love to hear your voices on it. To be honest, we sort of sit here in this vacuum of hackery. We live in the union, we breathe the union. You live outside the union. You live in interesting places, like your homes. We sleep here.
They will not let me sleep here, and I am angry about it, and there's nothing I can do. Oh, wait, Dan, can I call a referendum? Should Maxwell Baldy be allowed to sleep in the union?
You can try.
Excellent. Elections committee, reconvene. But the other impact of this governance review is something we haven't done since amalgamation in 1983. Amalgamation being when the SRC and the union formed the Students' Association. We haven't done it since then. A lot of our laws that govern us were written then, and they haven't changed. They haven't changed. For instance, it was only in September that our standing orders took notice of the fact that email exists. And so what we're trying to do is update it and trying to be able to show the university prove to the university not only that we are well-governed, not only that this year and next year and last year and next year will be well-governed, but that we have a framework in place that compels good governance in the future. And when we're able to do that, we're hoping the money flows and that we gut this building, which we spent far too much time in, and we know the...
The worst aspect.
There are good things, but it is not fit for purpose. And we're hoping that when sabbatical officers go to park in the Planning and Resources Committee of University Court, see, this is Hack Attack, you get all the acronyms here. When they go to park in December, that they're able to say, you know, the governance review was very successful and we are sound stewards. And when that happens, we're going to lose Beatons, we're going to lose Best for a semester, and the work will begin. This is anything else from you, Dan?
I don't believe so, other than that we'd love to, you know, see you out there getting engaged on the NUS referendum or on any other issue. I mean, we've just got 24-hour library opening access for during the exam time. I'd love to hear your opinions on that. I mean,
Dan is library and learning resources.
Anything you want the union to campaign on, to discuss, to act on, let your representatives know. It's what we're here for.
And one last plug. Thanks to an effort by Association Chairman Kelly Caucus, you and 24 of your friends, that is all it takes to put something on the agenda for the SRC and the SSC. I know we have a reputation of being,
closed, small-minded, inward-looking.
It's a strange little cult in here, but...
Very strange.
But... you can break into that cult. You and 25 of your friends sign a petition saying, I demand that the SRC and the SSC consider this issue, and they are bound to do it. Now, they might say, we consider and summarily deny it. For instance, the threat to bring a proposal mandating us to lobby the university to buy a shark. As awesome as that would be. But bring in your petition. You're not happy about what a subcommittee is doing. You're not happy with the way... your society's being funded or how you're getting funding for plays or the fact that Star wouldn't give you a show. You want the SRC to campaign on something or condemn something or tell me to shut up. Any of those things are valid motions. And we'd love to see you get more engaged. We're going to...
Before we go out, I'd actually like to thank our silent partner here, the producer, Joe Tantillo, who's been absolutely fantastic. Brilliant, smooth production, you know, except for one technical glitch at the start, which was totally not his fault. I'm going to blame Kate for that. I didn't say that on air.
Okay, I sit on SSC.
I don't.
Nope. Oh, final update. Final update from from Hack Attack. The senior officers of each committee, which are the deputy chairs, will now be briefing the other committee on their activities. So starting next week, Dan Franklin will be coming into SSC, and he'll be recognized at the start of officer report to talk about what SRC has done. Then also coming to SRC, and there'll be much groans and cries of shame and resign and disappointment. But we're going to try to get these two bodies, which sometimes can be opposed, which sometimes can be insular, which sometimes can be divided, to try to work together to understand what each other are doing and to support each other to the best of their abilities.
Yeah. Now I think we're going to play you out with Max's last choice for the show.
This is Come Fly With Me by Old Blue Eyes, Frank Sinatra. This has been a SAB State of Affairs on sandiegoradio.com. Thank you. Enjoy the weekend. And as Amanda has mandated me to say, it is 5 o'clock Fridays.
Come fly with me. Let's fly away.